Amen. You can have a seat. Grab your Bibles today and go with me to the wonderful book of Hebrews. And we're still in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. We go line upon line, precept upon precept. We believe God wrote it that way. We ought to be able to understand it that way. When these books of the Bible were written, many of the New Testament books were actually letters, and there was one continuous thought. And so we're going line upon line, precept upon precept, thought by thought through the Word of God to find out what it is that God is speaking to our lives. Verse number 12 was a power-packed verse. We were in it for a number of weeks, many things spoken to our hearts, many things that we need to get a hold of and get in operation in our lives. We talked about faith and patience, inheriting the promises last time. Brilliant message by Pastor Luke. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have that one, get a hold of that. It's online for free, or you can get it at the CD counters today if you like that. And just a great understanding for us. We continue with that thought about inheriting the promises. We have an inheritance. We have promises from God. And through faith and patience, we will inherit those things. Verse number 13 today is where we're going to start out. And it is one verse, but it is a continuous thought. But we're just going to stay in verse number 13. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." Here comes an example from the Word of God. God is speaking to us about something, and now God is giving us a living example. Somebody in the Bible who we can see, who we can relate to, a man like you and I, that had a promise from God. And it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." It's amazing to me that God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty God, the one who speaks and planets exist, the one who spoke light be and light was, now comes to Abraham and not only makes a promise to him, but he goes a step further. He does something unusual. He does something unexpected. He goes above and beyond what we think he should go, because God, if God said he was going to do something, that should be enough. That should settle it in our hearts that God is not only able, but he is willing and he is going to do what he said he was going to do. But here God, when he makes a promise to Abraham, does something unusual, goes above and beyond. What does he do? He swears an oath. Now, for men, when we swear an oath, we understand that that oath is a confirmation. If I was to come to you and say, "Hey, I'm going to do something for you," you'd say, "Well, how do I know you're going to do it for me?" I say, "I swear I'm going to do something for you." Now, all of a sudden, you say, "Okay, you swear." Well, we've been taught don't swear, right? We've been taught by the Lord that we are to make our yes be yes and our no be no. See, they were abusing this in Jesus' day. They were swearing by the temple and swearing by the altar. And if that wasn't good enough, they would swear by the gold of the temple, or they would swear by the sacrifice on the altar. See, they valued the things of this earth more than they did the things of God. And so somebody come along and say, "Well, I'm going to do this for you, and I swear by the temple." Well, that's okay, but swear by the gold. That way I know that you're really going to do it. And Jesus said, "That's a whole bunch of hooey. Don't be doing that stuff. You know, just let your yes be yes and your no be no." Now, with God, remember, this is Almighty God. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the God who is powerful and awesome and mighty. And here God is speaking to Abraham, and now God makes a promise to Abraham that he's going to bless him, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. And then he does something unusual. He swears an oath. God says, "I swear that I'm going to do this, Abraham." He reinforces what he is saying, the promise that he's saying, with an oath. Now, it's quite interesting and a little bit humorous when you think about it, that God was looking around what he could swear by. Could God swear by heaven and earth? Well, sure, he could have swore by heaven and earth, but the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. So that would have let God out of his promise, because if he swore by heaven and earth and they passed away, then God's promise could have passed away. God wasn't going to swear by man. Man's deceitful in his heart and evil from his youth and therefore bent on doing wrong. So he wasn't going to swear by man. So God's looking around. Is he going to swear by the universe? No, he's not going to swear by the universe. That will be consumed in the elements and the fire when the Lord comes. And so we understand that all those things are temporary. So God does something. He swears by something eternal, swears by the greatest thing he could swear by. And as he's looking around, nothing else is going to be good enough. He has to swear by himself. So he says, "Abraham, I'm putting myself on the line here. I'm putting myself as a surety. I am the greatest one, the greatest being, the greatest thing in the universe, in the seen things and the unseen things, nothing greater than me. Therefore, Abraham, I promise I'm going to do this, but I'm going to back it up with an oath, and I swear by myself that I'm going to do it." Now, to use some unusual terminology when thinking about God, God is, if you will, held hostage or held captive to his word when he speaks this oath. Why? Because if God didn't do what he said he was going to do, he would have to give up his throne. Because that would mean that God is a liar if he didn't keep his promise. Therefore, God, who swears an oath and swears by himself, puts himself on the line and says, if I don't fulfill this oath to you, Abraham, then I will give up my throne. I will give up my being. I will no longer be Almighty God. And the devil will come and usurp his authority. See, that puts us all in dire straits because we don't want the devil in that position. We want God in that position. But how awesome is it that we can trust God, that we can believe God, that when God promises us, that God doesn't just promise, but God goes the distance to make sure that we trust him, that we're secure in who he is. In fact, the title of today's message is Secure in God's Word. Secure in God's Word. God makes promises to us. There are plenty of promises that you can find in the Bible for your life. And God is saying to us, I don't want you just to know that I'm promising you this, but I'm going to back it up by myself. I swear that I'm going to make this happen by myself. And God puts his throne, puts his reputation, puts all that he has on the line for you and me. Why? Because God wants us to trust him. God wants us to step out in faith. God wants us to believe him for great things. God wants us to be secure in God's word. Oftentimes as a pastor, I go out and I'm in the community, you know, maybe at the gas station or something like that, chatting with people, the attendants or different people across the way, in the grocery store, you know. Sometimes you'll be going down an aisle, you see somebody looking at cream corn and they turn to you and they ask you, hey, what do you think about this cream corn? You know, and you're kind of like, well, you know, I like that brand. That brand's 39 cents cheaper though, so you may want to go with that one. I don't know what your budget is. And you're just chopping it up, striking up conversation. Oftentimes when people find out what I do, all of a sudden the conversation changes. You know, being a pastor, it's almost like, hey, you know, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm a carpenter, this and that. I work the trade. I work the skills and this and that. I'm data entry or whatever. What do you do, right? Turn around the question back on me. Well, I'm a pastor. All of a sudden, it's like confession time. It's like, oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. I haven't been in church in 3 years. You know, I just went through a hard time and my job changed and it was like, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't get to church. And I've been fighting with my wife and I don't even know why, you know. I've been drinking a little bit too and, you know, it's like, listen, I don't need to know all that. You want to get back to church, get back to church, you know. So maybe that's happened to you. You know, sometimes you tell somebody you're a Christian, you know, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I was in church. Oh, man, I need to go back to church. When I was a kid, my mama took me and you know, I got mad at my mama and never went back. You know, and it's like, come on here. You want to come to church? Come to church. See, what's going on is that they're insecure. They're not secure in the promises of God, not secure in who they are in Christ Jesus, not secure in their relationship with God. And so they're wavering. They've got doubt and unbelief. They're bound up. Sometimes you're talking to people, right? And this is what happens. Quite the opposite. They're not repentant at all. It's kind of like they could be talking to you and they're cussing like a sailor. And then they say, hey, what'd you do this week? And I was in the bar. And you say, well, I was in church. And all of a sudden, oh, bless the Lord, brother. Praise God Almighty. So you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, holy and undefiled. Oh, praise God, me too. I was in church too. Wait, I just thought you were in the bar. Oh yeah, but I went to church. I was in the bar witnessing to people, telling them John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, and all of a sudden they start sweating and swaying, right? Whosoever, I say, you know, and you're like, come on now. God doesn't have two syllables. Come on, what's going on here? And they flip-flop. Maybe they can parrot the promises of God. But in their heart, they're insecure. They're not backing it up with their life. Why? Because they don't realize who God is, what God's done. Don't realize that God has put himself on the line for his word. Maybe there was a disappointment along the way. I prayed for somebody. They didn't get healed. I believed God for something. And he didn't come through for me the way that I wanted him to. And so they may be able to parrot the promise and speak the promise and say the word, and yet inside they're empty. They're insecure. Growing up, I had an aunt who always had birds, and she lived with my grandmother, and so when we'd go to grandma's house, we would always go and have fun looking at the birds. She had parrots and cockatiels and parakeets and all that kind of stuff, and so we'd go over there, and we'd be talking to the parrot, hello, hello, right, and the parrot talked back, hello, and, you know, and you'd start laughing, and then the parrot would mimic your laugh. That's kind of fun, you know, because it was just rolling around laughter. You'd laugh, then the parrot would laugh at you, then you'd laugh at the parrot laughing at you, the parrot would laugh at you laughing at the parrot, and it was a riot, man. We had a good time. Well, one of my aunt's parakeets actually picked up, you remember answering machines? Okay, I know we're in a new day and age of voicemail and all that kind of stuff, but answering machines, they had these little boxes for those of you that are young. My goodness, and they had a little light that lit up, and you know, it would beep, and it would answer the phone for you, and it would play a greeting from you. just like voicemail. And it would say, you know, hey, leave a message after the tone. Beep, you know. And then you would hear somebody leaving a message. So growing up, this parakeet learned how to do the answering machine. And so we'd all be sitting around having dinner or talking there at grandma's house, and all of a sudden we'd hear, and we'd all look around, what was that? And then we'd hear the greeting, you know, going on. And then the second beep would go off. And then the person leaving the message would leave the message. You know, and we're all looking around, looking at the answering machine going like, what's going on? Is somebody actually calling? When in actuality, it was the parakeet. See, many insecure Christians, people who don't have the word of God solidified in their heart, that are not secure, they may make a lot of noise. They may even turn some heads, but nothing's really going on. Are you listening today? And so we have to develop a security in God's word. How do we do that? Developing security in God's word. A couple of things today that I want to talk to you about that we can do in our lives, things that we can develop in our hearts so that when the storms of life come, when things happen in our lives, that we can actually get secure in God's word, not just noise, not just turning heads, not just looking like it, but actually having it in our hearts. You guys ready for this today? All right, praise God for the five of you that kind of are. How about the rest of y'all? You guys ready for this today? There you are, praise God. Developing security in God's word. Number one is consider the ability of God. If we're going to develop security in God's word, we have to consider the ability of God. See, if you look at yourself when it comes to ability, you can get really discouraged. In fact, you can get very insecure because we know what we have the capacity to do and what we don't have the capacity to do. For instance, maybe you've been sick for a long time in your body and having trouble. You've been going to the doctors and taking medications and things are not working out the way that you want them to. And in your own ability, you can get really discouraged and say, well, God must not want to heal me. Or maybe God doesn't have the ability to heal me. Or maybe God does have the ability but doesn't choose to heal me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe something's going on. And we get very discouraged in our own strength. Maybe some of you guys in this place are struggling financially and you're saying, you know what, I don't have the ability to work anymore. I've looked for better jobs. I've gone out. I've put in applications. I've worked hard. There's no promotions. It's recession. There's nothing going on. We live in the Inland Empire. There's not a whole lot of commerce and stuff going on. I don't have an education. I don't have the money to get an education. And so I'm caught in a catch-22, a rock in a hard place. And in my own ability, I can't make any more money to make things happen in life. Maybe in your marriage. You've been struggling. And no matter how much you've tried to be nice, that person's just getting under your skin. And your spouse, all they have to do is say hello and it just curls your blood, right? And you're just going, I don't know what else I can do. I've done everything that I can do with your children. I've disciplined them. I've gone after them. I've talked to them and they're still not doing right. See, we can look at our own ability and we can get very discouraged, very insecure because we don't have the ability. And yet, God never calls us to look at our own ability. God calls us to look at His ability. Let me make this statement to you, a very important statement for us to understand. That is that difficulty is only defined by the ability of the one doing the work. Or I could say it to you like this, you can only measure difficulty by the ability of the one doing the work. For instance, there are certain things that I can do that you might say that's very difficult. Like I play guitar. I can say, well, playing guitar is easy. You know, I could strum some chords. I could play with the team. I could do all that kind of stuff and strum the guitar. You all say, man, playing the guitar is so hard. It hurts your fingers. And, you know, I don't know the notes and I don't know the rhythms and the strumming patterns. All that. That's very difficult for you. Maybe you can do something that I can't do. Maybe you were good at math in school and you were one of those calculus kids, you know, and you had that all together and you're saying, oh, that's simple stuff. Trigonometry, geometry. Oh, I get that. And that just, and to me, I'm going, what? You know, see, difficulty is only measured by the ability of the one doing the work. So let's say there was a road we were going to travel. The road was uphill. The road had rocks and a stream flowing through it and all this kind of stuff. And you're sitting at the bottom of this hill and you say, all I've got is a Volkswagen Beetle from the 1970s. That road just became a very tough road to travel, didn't it? But if somebody shows up next to you and says, you want to get to the top of the road, I've got a Jeep Rubicon with the tow package and the big lights on top and the big mud tires and it's raised, all of a sudden that road became what? Fun, right? You're like, hey, bring it on. I can do it now. See, when you consider the ability of God, God is like that Jeep that can take you further than you could go on your own. God's ability is much greater than our ability. This is God, creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the one that is anything too hard for him. This is God that raises up generations, that raises up kingdoms, that brings kingdoms low. This is the God who in his son, Jesus Christ, went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Speaks a word and demons come out with a screech. Speaks a word and people are healed. Anoints their eyes and tells them to go wash and now they can see. The lepers are cleansed at his touch. That's the God who God is telling you, get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes onto me and consider my ability. Hallelujah. We don't consider our ability when it comes to believing God's word. We consider his ability because he's putting himself on the line. He's going to watch after his word to keep it. Turn me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 18. Looking at our example of Abraham, remember we started this out in Hebrews the 6th chapter, that God made a promise to Abraham. Here is Abraham in Genesis chapter number 18. God is speaking with him about what he's going to do in his life. God's telling Abraham, I'm going to come and visit you, and you're going to have a son. This is the son of promise, not in your own ability, not in your own flesh. No, this one is the promised son that I told you was going to come. This is going to be your heir. Now, while God's talking to Abraham, Abraham's wife Sarah is in the tent, and she's listening. And as she hears the promise of God and what God says he's going to do, she laughs inside of herself. She says, am I going to receive pleasure myself being old? Can I bear a son at this old age? See, Sarah was 89 years old at this time. That's much past the time when women have babies, much less do the things that it takes to make babies. Okay? Can we be mature about this? Hello. And so here God starts speaking, and take a look at it with me in Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 13 and verse number 14. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 13 starts out and says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? So God asked the question, why did she laugh? Saying something. She's saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? What did Sarah have her eyes on at this point? Her ability, right? I'm old. I'm past the age of childbearing. This is not normal. And so she's looking at her ability. Now, God asked the question, and then look at what he does. He gives an answer in the very next verse, verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, Sarah had a question, am I going to have a child because I'm old? And God had another question for her that answers her question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, let's answer that question today. Church, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. If God can create the heavens and the earth, if God can speak and planets exist, if God can make light out of darkness, if God can call forth and make us in our mother's womb and knit us together, if God can have the plan of the ages, raise up kingdoms, if God can heal the sick, if God can cleanse the leper, if God can raise the dead, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. No. Can God take care of that bill? Can God take care of your children? Can God heal you in your physical body? Can God make you have a great marriage? See, is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Take a look at the rest of the verse. It says, at the appointed time, I will return to you. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You read on, and Sarah had a son at the appointed time. My goodness, when she was beyond the age of having a child, she had a child. God is so good. God is so good. You're there in Genesis. Turn to me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. If you pass the Psalms, the Proverbs, Isaiah, then you'll find Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter number 32. We're going to take a look at one verse. Verse number 17. Jeremiah's praying. As Jeremiah's praying, he starts to do something, starts to consider the ability of God. Let's take a look at it together. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 17. Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, look and see. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Is Jeremiah looking at his strength? No, he's looking at God's strength. Look at the rest of the verse. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too difficult for you, God. God, I know you've called me to preach to these people. I know you've called me through hard times, but God, nothing's too difficult for you. How did he know that? Because he was dwelling on what God had already done. He had seen the ability of God in creation and said, "You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Maybe today you've been believing God and you're discouraged, you're disappointed. Maybe you're wavering and you've been looking at your own strength. It's time for you to take a walk. Get outside. Go look at the mountains. Look how big they are. Look how majestic they are. Look how strong they are. And then start to dwell on the fact that God is greater than them, that God is stronger than them, that God made them. And when the foot of the Lord hits them, they melt like wax in his presence, the Bible says. Start to take a look at the oceans. Maybe you need to take a drive to the beach and get out there and look at the vast expanse of the ocean and realize that God, the depths of God's strength and power go deeper than that ocean. They go farther than that ocean. They are wider than that ocean. See, you got to get a picture that God is greater than your situation. God's greater than the bill. God's greater than the layoffs. God's greater than the recession. God is greater than the problem. God is greater than the fight. God is greater than the trial. God is greater than all things. When you dwell on his ability rather than your ability, oh my goodness, you will be secure in God's word. Developing security in God's word. Developing security in God's word. Number one, consider the ability of God. Number two for today. Number two, hold to truth and not to facts. If we're going to develop a security in God's word, we've got to hold to the truth and not to facts. Now, that may sound like a contradictory statement to some of you guys, but we have to define what truth is versus what facts are, because truth and facts oftentimes are very opposite things, okay? Let's define truth. What is truth? Well, truth is what God says. Plain and simple. Truth is what God says. If you can find it in the word of God, that is a truth. That's it. So when it comes to truth, what is truth? Well, truth is what God says. Truth is not what the world says. Truth is not what your parents told you. Truth is not what education systems tell you. Truth is simply what God says. If you get that settled in your heart, it's gonna help you through your life. Now, what are the facts? Facts, well, that's kind of easy too. Facts are information, elements, and circumstances. That's the facts. So you say, well, how do those differ? Because here's the deal. Facts are changing all the time. Facts are continuously changing. And if you take a look at scientists and studies and different things, the facts that they had even 10 years ago are no longer the facts today. For instance, fact 10 years ago how people spent their leisure time and the fact of how people spend their leisure time today are two totally different things. Why? The facts changed. People stopped doing certain things and started doing new things. Maybe it was television, now they're watching stuff on the internet. Maybe it was communication on a telephone versus texting. See, the facts are continuously changing throughout our lifetime. Therefore, something has to be strong and stable and hold true no matter what, and that is God's word. Truth is what God says. God's word is never changing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're looking for truth, if you're looking for something stable, if you're looking for the plumb line, the mainstay, the anchor for your soul, it's right here in God's word. He never changes. There's no shadow of turning with him. If he said it, you can believe it, and that settles it. It's not going to change. So how does that work in our lives? Well, when the facts don't line up with the truth, stick with the truth. Are you hearing me now? When the facts don't line up with the truth, don't go with the facts. Why? Because that's going to change. Stick with the truth. So how does that look in our lives? Well, the facts may be that you and your spouse are fighting like cats and dogs. But the truth of God's word is that you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You are to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And as you hold to the truth, the facts will change. You won't always be fighting like cats and dogs. You're going to have a great marriage. You're going to have a marriage that's in Christ. You're going to have a marriage that's growing. Facts may be that I don't have enough money. But the truth of God's word is that you can prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. See, you got to find out what the truth of God's word says in order to stick with it. So whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, you say, well, my problem is my kids. They're crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I just want to beat them all the time. I just want to slap them around. I mean, they're teenagers, and they're just obstinate. They're rebellious. They're doing their own thing. Well, find out what the truth of God's word says. What does God's word say? My Bible says, and your Bible says, that even though they may wander, that they will return to their borders, and that if you train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from it, even when they grow old. So you got to find out what the truth says, stick to the truth, declare the truth, live out the truth, and then the facts will change. I think you're getting it. See, this works in every area of your life. Fact may be that you're sick, and you've been sick for a long time. But then when you find out the truth of God's word, that by his stripes I was healed. Wait a second, I was healed? That doesn't look like the facts. I'm not healed. But this says I was healed. That means past tense. That means it's already happened. When did I get healed if I'm sick in my body? Well, you got healed when Jesus went to the cross. Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, you were healed. If you were healed, then you am healed. Are you listening today? And so you got to start to stand and declare the truth of God over your life. If I were healed, then I am healed. In Jesus' name, by his stripes, I was healed. God is working in me for a healing and a cure. I am being quickened in my mortal body. I'm going from glory to glory, strength to strength. I'm not getting worse. I'm getting better. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And you start to declare the promise of God, and the facts will change and line up with the truth. That's how this works. It's how this works every area of your life. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Turn there with me. Find it in your Bible. You're going to have to get back there someday. You're going to need this in your life, because the facts will be screaming in your face something that's not real. Devil's going to be knocking at your door telling you, hey, you can't do it. You're not going to make it. What are you doing believing the promises of God? Hey, listen, God promised a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of disappointed people all over the world. You're going to be one of them. You're a loser. You're a chump. You've always been a loser. You will always be a loser. In fact, nobody likes you. I don't like you. You don't like you. You know what? And to boot, you're ugly. Everybody in your family's ugly. Your mom and dad were ugly. You're ugly. Even your dog is ugly. See, that's the stuff the devil's going to be trying to feed you. But you move past the facts and you stick with the truth. Look at what happened. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, take a look at it with me. Verse number 19 through verse number 21. Romans chapter 4, verse number 19. Remember, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about the promises God made to him. Look at what happened. Abraham, verse number 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, here was the facts. Abraham, you're old. Here's the facts. Abraham, you can't have a baby. Here's the facts. Sarah's womb is dead. She's 90 years old. But Abraham didn't look at the facts. He looked at the truth, the promise of God, and was not weak in faith. Look at the next verse. Verse number 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See, he didn't waver. He didn't look at the facts and start to, oh man, we're old and I don't know what we're gonna do. No, he didn't. He looked to the promise of God. Verse number 21, and being fully convinced. Everybody say fully convinced. See, sometimes you got to stir yourself up. Sometimes you got to declare the promise. Sometimes you got to remind yourself of what you're believing God for and convince yourself. Did Abraham laugh? Yes. Did Sarah laugh? Yes. That's why their son was named Isaac. Isaac means laughter. But heaven doesn't record in the New Testament their laughter. Heaven records his faith, that he was fully convinced, he was persuaded, and that he didn't waver at the promise. He was strengthened in faith. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, speaking of God, he was also able to perform. That goes back to number one, the ability of God rather than the ability of man. We've got to hold to the truth and not the facts. When the devil comes knocking, you tell him, devil, my dog is not ugly. Guess what? I ain't either. You're the ugly one because Jesus defeated you and kicked your teeth in. Devil, you're under my feet and I'm not giving you any place. The God of peace will soon crush you underneath my feet. You send him packing. Hold to the truth, not to facts. Last one for today. If we're going to develop security in God's word. Last one for today. Number three is remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember where God brought you from. Remember how before you were saved, you were a rascal. Should have died. Oh yeah, you remember that bar fight? You should have been dead. Remember that gunshot? Mm-hmm. Should have took you out. Remember that time that you didn't know how you were going to make it? God came through. Remember how God brought you to the point of salvation? Remember how God saved you and cleaned you up? Remember how you used to be bound with issues and all of a sudden, bam, God delivered you? Remember how you believed God and you fought and you prayed and you went after it and God started to change you from the inside out? Remember how when you didn't have any groceries and your kids were crying because they were hungry, suddenly there was a knock at the door and some groceries showed up. You don't even know who put them there. Remember how God took you and God comforted you. When everybody else turned their back, how God was there giving you strength, giving you peace. Remember how God took care of your needs all throughout your life. Listen, even if you just got saved at the beginning of this church service, God has already done something in your life in that he brought you to this point and kept you on the planet for a reason. And God is faithful. And if we're going to develop a security in God's word, we have to remember that faithfulness. We got to take a look at our belt, our faith belt, and the notches along the road that God took care of me here, and God took care of me here, and God took care of me here. And if God has brought me this far, he's not going to leave me. God's not finished with us yet. God's got great things in store for us. Like what G.A. Rogers said, he said, great trials make great believers. When you've gone through the fire and you come out smelling like roses, now you can declare the faithfulness of God. That even though the waters rose and the fires came, it didn't even come near me. It didn't touch me. I don't even smell like smoke. Great trials make great believers. You can remember and stand and declare the faithfulness of God. Hebrews chapter 10, turn there with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. You say, Pastor, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 10 in a couple of years here. Should we be using that verse? It's okay. You can read a verse in the Bible more than once in your life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Get a hold of this word. Get it in your heart. Memorize it. So that when trials come, you can stand and declare the faithfulness of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What are you believing God for? Hold fast the confession of your hope. That hope is that confident expectation that we learned about, that I'm believing God for something, and it's not like I hope it's going to happen. No, my hope is that I am confidently awaiting God's promise to come through. That's my hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. How do we do that? Look at the rest of the verse. For he who promised is faithful. Wow. See, you can hold on to your hope. You can confidently expect and wait on God. Why? Because God is faithful. The New Living Translation of that same verse says, God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted to keep his promise. That's what we're talking about today, is getting secure in the word of the Lord, getting it so stable on the inside of us that we are immovable, we are unshakable. Why? Because we are built on the rock, and his name is Jesus. Turn with me a page over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to take a look at verse number 11. We'll conclude with this verse today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, we're talking about Abraham, talking about Sarah, talking about how they were believing the promise of God for a baby. Now, we kind of got down on Sarah a little bit because she laughed, right? She was getting her eyes off of God's ability, got her eyes on her own ability. But then take a look at, once again, what the New Testament records about this great woman of faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed or a baby. And she bore a child when she was past the age. Now, how did that happen? If Sarah had her eyes on her own ability and had laughed, how did this change? What took place that now all of a sudden Sarah, who's 90 years old, can conceive and bear a child? How did that happen? Take a look at the rest of the verse. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, when Sarah laughed and she was considering her own ability, God said, is anything too hard for God? Something clicked on the inside of Sarah. She started to think about how when they were back in Ur of the Chaldeans, their hometown, how God had spoken to her husband, and her husband came back and told the family, hey, pack it up, everybody. Lot, get your stuff. Get all the people. Get all the servants. Sarah, I want you to pack everything up because we're going. Where are we going, honey? Well, I don't know yet. God's going to show me when we get there. Say what? And yet this woman of faith followed her husband along with their whole tribe, their whole crew. Everybody's going. No child, and they go out to a place that God's now telling them. God shows up and says, this is the place. I'm going to give this to you as an inheritance for your descendants without even having a child. She looked back down that road and she said, oh my goodness, look how God took us through Egypt and through trials and through pressures and through the people that were surrounding us and all the different things. The Bible records amazing things that took place along the way. God actually rebuked kings on their behalf. And so Sarah, when she heard the promise of God, she may have laughed and said, oh my goodness, I'm so old. Is this really going to happen? Am I really going to bear a child? But then, is anything too hard for God? And she looked back down that road and she said, well, God is faithful. Nothing's too hard for God. And she received strength by faith to conceive that child. Listen, church, if you're believing God for something, believing God for your family, believing God for your finances, believing God for your business, believing God for your relatives, believing God for whatever it is in your life, your health, anything, doesn't matter. Take a look down the road and remember that God is faithful. One last quote for today from D.L. Moody, Dwight Moody, great man of God. He said these words. He said, trust in yourself and you're doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken away from you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongues will blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Come on today, if you got something from the Lord, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah!